During this season, after the day of Epiphany, we have been talking about home, finding home. Home is sometimes a way of talking about God or a safe place. Home may be a place or it may be a feeling. Some in our world are living in a safe place they call home. And some are being chased out by violence or oppression. Our text from Luke today continues the story from last week. It describes Jesus being chased out of town after he told the group the prophecy had come true that day when he spoke it. This is not like those living in war-torn countries. Yet, interestingly, he is once again in his life chased out of town. First, his parents are sent to Bethlehem, where he is born an outsider. Then they flee for their safety to Egypt. Jesus' family finally comes to Nazareth when Joseph feels it is safe. Now, in Jesus' adulthood, he is chased out because the people are not ready to hear what he has to say. Isaiah's prophecy has come true. Jesus is chased to the cliff outside of town, but he sneaks away. Some say he goes his own way. The sermon last week got people talking. I certainly was not chased out of town, but it definitely struck a nerve. I received more emails and phone calls in regard to the sermon than any other sermon before. And that's great. We need to talk about the hard subjects. The only way we can grow is by talking things through with many voices present and being respectfully heard. White privilege is so complicated. It has so many layers. Some say it's like unpacking an invisible knapsack, like Peggy McIntosh wrote about and named. And if you have a free moment or two, I strongly suggest you Google her, Peggy McIntosh. Her article is Unpacking an Invisible Knapsack. There is so much to unpack. As you know, I really didn't want to talk about white privilege in the pulpit, but I felt called to do so in the framework of I have work to do. I have much to learn. I have much to unpack within myself. My story was surrounded by the fact that I didn't want to accept that I had more to know and learn about how I live in this world. After reflection, I was ready to accept that even though I try my absolute best to treat everyone the same, I have much to learn about white privilege. My prayer is that you have also taken time to reflect. The end of my story is, I decided that since the musical my daughter was auditioning for at her school was Little Shop of Horrors, I would let her audition. I thought I'd let the process and her gifts determine whether she was in or out of the musical. And she did make the cut, and she made the ensemble. But I have not stopped thinking about the conversation with my friend. I'm not sure my friend's take on step aside is the right way to say it. I do know I need to be aware of my place in our society and make sure I am part of creating justice that goes beyond equality. My prayer is that we continue the conversation as a church and as a people, even if we feel as though the town may throw us off the cliff. Keep the conversation going. Keep calling for justice. Please keep talking and learning so that love and compassion wins. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is meant for the community, not an individual or a couple. Many use this verse about love in their wedding. It is a beautiful verse about love, a romantic love. A marriage enveloped in the love described in 1 Corinthians would be solid. In English, there is only one word for love. In Greek and other languages, there are many words to describe love and many kinds of love and many ways to love. Paul the Apostle was talking to the faith community in Corinth. He was telling the group how to get along, how to love one another, how to live together. How would our society function if love was rule number one? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Do you think if this was rule number one in our churches, it would feel like a sanctuary, a place where someone is protected or given shelter? A place where everyone felt at home. Safe sanctuary, a place where someone is protected or given shelter. As a faith community, we are given the task to find the balance in which we hold a living definition of love that Paul speaks of, yet keep in place compassionate rules so that we have a safe space for the vulnerable, the young, the old, and all those in between. I know we all want to create a space that takes care of one another in Christian love, a church home. This will take some work, but I know this group, and we are up for the task. Home may be a physical place, like a house or a town. Home may, out of necessity to those living among violence, may not be a place at all, but a feeling. Home may be a spiritual place or feeling. Home may feel like, I am safe, or God is with me. Finding home today may mean finding God, love, Jesus, compassion, community, life, purpose, the Holy Spirit, or a safe sanctuary again, or in a new, deeper way. Amen.